This is CliffCentral.com.
Richard, are we on track with the financial pack for my presentation to the board next week?
Well, hopefully. The team's very short-staffed, and it's taking such a long time to find a suitable financial manager for the division. We're way behind on all our forecasts and reporting.
Why don't you speak to the finance team? They're a consultancy that can help you with an experienced interim financial manager. You can have somebody to help you almost immediately. They'll hit the ground running with no long-term contracts and no upfront placement fees.
Go to thefinancesteam.co.za.
Welcome to the business section of our business masterclass. I'm Richard Angus, CEO of the finance team, your part-time financial executive solution. Joining me in studio today, I'm carrying on from part one of the show, is Emma Wilson of Polkadot Digital.
Hello, everyone.
Thanks for being with us. And our guest today, Samantha Selesnik of the Paper Packaging Place.
Thanks for having me.
Great, I got that out.
Yes, you got it right. Well done.
That was quite a tongue twister to get that out. So we're going to be talking today in a follow-on from part one of the show around digital versus traditional marketing. We have Samantha in to talk a little bit about her business. So as a starting point, give us a little bit of background to the business, where it's come from. It's always good to have the context in the conversation.
Look, the business was started by my mother in 1991. And almost quite by accident, actually. She wasn't really looking to get into another business. She was having a bit of a time out. And a family friend manufactured a range of little packets down in the Cape and said to her, I'm sure you can sell them for me in Joburg. And sent her a whole bunch of stuff, which sat in the garage for like 3 months. And she was eventually just like, this is annoying me. I need to just get rid of it so I can pay him for it and he can stop annoying me. And when she went out there was just... There was such a need. There was just nothing like it. It wasn't a particularly fancy product. It was actually, looking back now, it's still one of our lines, but it's probably our smallest line. But yeah, people loved it, and she just it just started from there. So she set up her little office in the cupboard in our TV lounge. So before I was married, so my sister and I were still at home, and it was quite a pain because we had to keep the noise down. And before long, she moved into the whole lounge and then took over all the garages and then built an office in the garden. And then it just grew from there. I joined her in 93. Haven't done too much else in my life other than this. But it's a great business. It's fun. It's changing all the time. And I still enjoy it. So.
Okay. Now, I know you interact with Polkadot Digital.
Yeah.
That's where the connection came from. So you obviously have played in the whole digital marketing space, yet your product is very much a traditional product in terms of it's tangible and it's the packaging space.
Yeah.
How does the world of, let me call it, a traditional business and digital marketing, how's that world shifted for you from more traditional, doing the more traditional marketing stuff into the world of digital? Okay, maybe a good starting point is, how heavily do you rely on digital marketing in your business?
Now a lot.
Okay.
A lot. You know, we never kind of did, the kind of advertising, traditional media you guys were talking about, you know, sort of print media and stuff. It's not really something a very small business could afford to do. TV slots and billboards and.
And I think that's a really important learning for listeners, is that realize that what digital has done is it's lowered the barrier
Absolutely.
To entry into being able to address and talk to a market that perhaps was, let me call it, inaccessible previously. So it's a significant reduction in the barriers to entry for business
Absolutely.
People.
I mean, we did the odd sort of, you know, the local community newspapers and that sort of thing. Our biggest form of marketing were actually the expos that we did. We always did three expos every year, which we're now down to two just because the cost of the small one that we were doing, we've done it for like 15 years. For what I was spending on that expo is now I can reach 1 million people online for the 70 grand it cost me, so 3,000 people could walk through a door at an expo. So that's also changed.
So I want to quickly run those numbers because I think there's a very practical example there of traditional versus digital. So you would have 3,000 people attend an event for how long? What was the period of time?
4 days.
4 days, so 3,000 people over the 4 days.
May not all walk past you.
Yes, but that's the total entrance.
Correct.
Into the,
that's the total. Yeah.
So 3,000 people over a period of 4 days. Mm-hmm. Let's simplify this. Let's say it was about 800 people a day.
Okay.
For 4 days, so 800 people potentially walk past you, and you paid. You said
70,000.
70,000 rand
for my space for and all space. The other bits and pieces.
Bits and pieces. Mm. And now you're saying for the same price, you can talk to 1 million people?
That's my 4 months of full, you know, Google AdWords, Facebook, Instagram, and like hectic. I mean, that's spending serious cash because a lot of people don't spend that kind of money. But for 4 months, yeah, I can reach 1 million plus people.
Okay. And when you're talking to those people, are those 1 million plus people, are they targeted? They are the same types of people that would have walked through this exhibition?
Well, I think in many ways they're more targeted because, you know, I had no control over who the expo was actually targeting themselves. I mean, it's quite a broad spectrum thing. So it's people who are involved in interior design and all sorts of things. So it's, you know, it's not people aren't coming here specifically to see packaging. Mine's kind of a, you know, complementary products. So you need my stuff to make your stuff look good. So, you know, people found us and got excited, which is fun. It's fun to see people face to face and for them to go, oh my God, your stuff's fantastic. And, you know, what a great idea. And so there's still room for that. We still do expos because, you know, it's nice to meet people. You find customers. That was the only way we used to be able to find people from out of town. I mean, our word of mouth, local presence, you know, people knew about us. People, we've always been, you know, very kind of highly thought of. But to reach those people in Kimberley and Bloemfontein and, you know, you didn't find them. They found you at the expos. Mm. Whereas now I can find you anywhere. As long as you are slightly interested in what I do through targeting, I can find you. I can find you on your couch at 9 o'clock at night and you've just put the kids to bed and you want to relax and you go, oh, wow, that's stunning, fabulous. Oh, need those.
So, yeah, now let's talk for a moment. What digital mediums do you use? Talk to us about the channels that you're using right now.
Well, I tried my hand at Google AdWords. And, in fact, Emma found me at an expo. Yeah. She took my card at an expo.
You see, so you were at the expo.
Emma was at the expo. And then she approached me the way she was explaining that you approach people online. She wasn't a big pest, but she just kept reminding me that she was there. And she was sweet, and she was professional. And I come from a long line of women in business, and we know how tough it is. So, you know, and I just didn't have the time. And eventually I was like, you know what, let me give this chick a shout and let her come through and chat to me. And I was so impressed. I mean, she'd done so much, you know, background research on my company and whatever. And I said, okay, well, let's give it a bash. Let's give it a few months. I mean, I tried it myself and failed dismally. I mean, Google AdWords is Chinese.
It's not for the faint heart.
Not at all. Sure. And immediately we started to see, you know, at first you think, is it my imagination? You know, we were a little bit busier last month. And then, you know, then they get the feedback of how many clicks and how many whatevers.
Conversions
and inquiries and whatever, and you do suddenly start to see this like snowball effect, and it's quite interesting how it all starts to happen. And, you know, I mean, a few months back, one of Emma's ladies asked me if I wanted to change something, or, you know, and I've recently done a social media diploma through Stellenbosch Business School, so I kind of think I have a bit of better grasp on the workings of it. So I was like, yeah, let's try doing this. Let's split it up and whatever. And it was,
it didn't work.
Boof, dead. And everybody, my staff says to me, what have you done? So what do you mean, what have I done? They said, you've done something because the phones aren't ringing and it's quiet. So, and I suddenly thought, sure, but that's the only thing I've changed. Phone it back. Put it back exactly as it was. It was working. It was fine. Leave it alone. But
I think for me, the interesting thing is the ability to almost test and measure real time.
Yeah.
What you're doing in digital is
I mean, it's,
you know, if you'd made that mistake on a billboard, you got it in the wrong place. Wrong side.
And
of
you
the
see it quite
comes.
Quickly. And I mean, Facebook was the logical choice for me because I love Facebook. Mm-hmm. And it was actually a movie I'd seen was it The Intern? And it was such a lovely movie, all about kind of like social media. And I'm thinking, I could do that, and I could do that with my product. I mean, our product is packaging, but it's exciting packaging. It's pretty packaging. It's boutique packaging, and it's, you know, people get excited about ribbons and all that sort of stuff. And so I thought I would give it a bash, and then it did start to work. But I was throwing mud at a wall and seeing what stuck, because I was spending a hell of a lot of money and not quite sure why some things were working and some things weren't working. Mm. So that's why I did the diploma, because there is a science behind it, and you do need to kind of know what's working, why it's working, so that you can replicate it.
I was going to say, so have you had success in figuring out what and why it works? Or is that still something elusive?
Yes.
I personally have a lot of questions often about, you know, so does being visible count? Does, you know, not being, you know, so if I'm not having those that impression, is that an issue in my brand? And I think it does depend on your brand and what you're selling. And, you know, does an impression become, you know, is an impression like the billboard, that it doesn't happen immediately, but it happens in 2 months' time? Looking at the lead flow, you know, is this lead linked to something you did last week or yesterday or an hour ago? You know, like you don't quite always know, in my mind. What have you figured out as your kind of, let's call it, connectors on various things?
Well, look, I think initially I wanted to go online with my business, with my website. I wanted to have a really great online store. And then I needed to think, how do I tell people it's there? Because it's, you know, just going to sit there. So that was kind of why I used the Facebook, was to get the traffic to the website and say, you know, this is what we've got. Go and have a look. It's because without the social media, that website, you know. And so in the beginning, I think it was a lot about sort of building my brand recognition and kind of just getting our name out there, what we, you know, what we do, what we're about. I don't know. Facebook has certainly helped with growing our brand, making people more aware of who we are and what we do. And now there's other things, you know, like social stuff that we do, social development sort of stuff that we do. That's nice to also tell people we get involved in all this sort of stuff. So it's more like the personal side of our business and who we are as people. And you get to interact with people, and, you know, stunning when people put comments all day. People say how much they love our stuff, and, you know, that's fun.
I was going to say, the nice thing about social media and digital is that the feedback, it's a two-way interaction. That's what I'm hearing.
Absolutely.
Your business is built on a two-way communication and interaction, which isn't, you know, I have never seen a comment on a billboard.
No.
other than people unhappy when it gets put up or up or take it down.
When my mom was, you know, in the early days, so she would want to bring on board a new range of products. And that would take a hell of a long time to establish that new range. I mean, you've got to tell people it's there. So it's dropping off brochures, and it's a couple of expos at least till everybody's kind of seen, oh, you guys are now doing that. You know, so it could take 2 years to actually really establish a new product range. Whereas now, I can introduce a product range. It's still on the sea, on its way here. Everybody knows,
and it's waiting for
it's coming. And in fact, I mean, even though, you know, you have to pay for that stuff up front, so it's a bit hectic because you haven't, you know, got it yet. But you've already put money back in the bank because you've got pre-orders. Everybody's having, you know, so excited about this product that's coming. And, you know, by the time it arrives, it's not just established. It's already, you know, flying out the door. I mean, that's something that was, you know, unheard of. Yeah. So it's also taken the pace of how the business has grown. It's increased that pace tremendously.
It's definitely an accelerant in terms of,
very much so,
putting the foot down and moving. But I guess the reality is you have to be on the right road when you accelerate. Otherwise, you know,
make sure your systems are in place to handle that. I mean, you know, you can't just go and then you're sitting with this small little office of people who are now just drowning because, you know, they don't, can't cope with all of this.
Can't cope, can't implement.
Mm. So, it's, I mean, my business has grown year on year tremendously, I'd say, over the last 3 years.
Mm.
Thanks to the social media, the online media, the Google AdWords, and our website.
Mm. Yeah.
Mm.
So, yeah, and I was going to say, I think what I'm hearing as well is a coordinated, managed engagement. It's not just about Google AdWords. It's about social media,
it's all integrated.
Google AdWords, website, and each has to talk to the other.
Correct.
And it has to be.
You've got to work together. You've got to have your brand voice, and it's got to be the same voice across all those platforms. You can't come across as a clown on one platform. And, you know, people, they're talking to a person. They're talking that your brand is a person. So
I think there's an important comment there about consistency and the brand
identity,
brand persona is really important because I think often there's noise in what we communicate
and inconsistency. I mean, some companies have these huge departments, and Joe Blogs does X today and Sarah does it tomorrow, and you know, where Sarah talks and the way Joe talks, totally different. So there's no consistency. You've got to have some idea of what that identity is, who you are, what it is you're trying to tell people, and how are you trying to tell them, and in what way, how do you want them to perceive you, you know? So like, you know, Nando's are clowns and Kalula are whatever. You know, you've got to have your voice, your identity.
And it's actually quite interesting. I mean, it's interesting. So you make a comment about Kalula, for example. Okay. Kalula has always been seen as the fun, the fun brand in the airline
That's
industry.
That's their voice.
And initially they had their fun safety announcements, and then that had to peter out, I'm not sure, from a compliance perspective or whatever. And they still have their funny ads that are really, really quite raucous in some cases. But I think it's also important in my mind, if I'm going to address my market with a persona, let's call it the brand persona of who I am, that's consistent throughout my organization, my product delivery, and it's consistent with the product and what I do.
Correct.
Okay.
The culture of your company, you know. We had that chat this morning. We have an 8 o'clock meeting on a Monday. This is who we are. This is what we do. We don't compromise on these certain things. And we're busy at the moment. And, you know,
it's terribly busy
at the moment. And, you know, like I was saying to them, I know you guys are juggling 50 balls, but that little ball's only got one person they're talking to. They don't know about 49 other balls. So, you know, just don't forget, because you do get carried, you know. So we've always been about service and personal attention. And, I mean, our customers love us. They drop off gift baskets and send flowers. And, you know, that's kind of – and you don't ever want to lose that.
People
buy from people.
Yeah, people buy from people. Yeah. But it's interesting when the guys who are doing the packaging for all those unique gifts are getting gifts.
Yes,
that's quite an interesting dynamic. And the question
so
is, the question is, do they come well packaged?
They do not.
So what you do is you actually identify the bad.
Cut their packaging.
Cut the packaging.
You really could have done this ribbon a bit better.
So I guess my question to you is, if you were to go back to where your business, you know, look back at your path of your business, in terms of your marketing and how the business has changed over time and what you've learned, what would you have done more of sooner? So hindsight is perfect revision, remember? So now to get the growth, you now know what works and what doesn't. What are the things that you would have done quicker or wish you had done quicker, given what you now know about your market and your marketing and your traditional versus digital space? Is there anything you would have said, hey, if I'd had this?
If it was available, baby, but it wasn't.
Yeah.
Okay. You know what I'm saying?
So for you, what are those top?
I'm glad we kind of climbed in more or less at the beginning. I mean, not really at the beginning, but in my industry, certainly we were right at the beginning. You know, and I think I was like a lot of people at the end of 2015. You know, I was like, oh, hell, we are in for a year. And I've got staff. I've got people I need to make sure I can feed their families. And I'm not telling anybody to go anywhere. I mean, my staff don't leave. You know, we add people. We're going to be a company of geriatrics one day. But, you know, I was really, really concerned about what the year was going to bring. And I just, I mean, I worked right through that Christmas, and it was putting the website together and redoing my brochure and all sorts of stuff, because I just thought I need to hit the ground running in 2016, because there's going to be less business out there. Sorry for you, but I need more of it, you know, and I need to look after us. And I was very aggressive in 2016 with the marketing and just, you know, just doing whatever I could to, you know, just get us out there. And I caught a lot of my competitors by surprise,
yeah,
for sure. Mm. But, yeah, so, you know, to say what would I have done differently earlier, I don't know. Facebook's even evolved so much since I've been doing it. You know, there used to be certain formats you could only use for video, and you could, yeah, you know, now it's just, when they've just rolled with it, they just, as they've picked up a snag, they've, yeah, you know, adjusted.
It sounds like Facebook is a real win.
Mm, it is.
Yeah, it is.
Mm. I'm new to Instagram. I like Instagram. It's also
it's a very nice visual
platform. And I do all my own marketing. I do all my own photography. I've got a nice studio that I've set up. And I love doing the creative side and, you know, dreaming up weird and wonderful designs for stuff and ideas. So for me, Instagram's great because, you know, all the stuff I've concocted in my little studio and photographed, you know, I've got somewhere to, you know, showcase it. And it is a very visual product, so people enjoy it. And our Instagram, I think, and I haven't really been that aggressive on Instagram. I think I put about 2,500 followers, and that's since April.
Wow.
It's not bad.
It's not bad.
No, I don't think that's bad. I mean, it's Facebook, we're up at 53,000, which is cool, but yeah.
Mm. Now, I mean, as a businesswoman out there, you must run into a whole number of different challenges in your business, and it goes from staffing to addressing your market to products, etc. What has been kind of, let's call, if I was to ask you to rank the challenges that you've experienced as a business person, what would come out at the top on your list of things that you found challenging in growing your business?
Well, okay, so my mother's philosophy of how she did her, you know, just managed her business. She didn't borrow money. Mm-hmm. Everything was, you know, paid for itself before she did anything else. And that was a very good, very good way to do things. I had somebody from the bank tell me that she'd never seen gearing in a business like this before. And I said, thanks so much. I have no idea what you're talking about, but it sounds fabulous. So, you know, I took what she taught me and that's what I kind of did going forward. And it's fine when you're growing slowly. But, I think sort of the funding side of things, although, you know, we've managed and I'm still running the business, basically cash, always have. But yeah, I think it's a bit more difficult for women out there, actually, to be honest.
Yeah.
It really is. I don't know what it is. I mean, my husband often says to me, well, why are they asking you for that? I mean, you know, I said, I don't know. He says, well, that's absolutely ridiculous. Tell them to, you know, but they do. I don't know what it is. I mean, you know, and it's always been like that. Women in business do get given, I feel, definitely, a harder time. Yeah. Harder time about financing, harder time about, you know, overdrafts or borrowing money. I mean, often I've just gone, I'll pay for it cash, thanks. Can't be bothered to go through all of this and jump through all your hoops. So that's probably one of the biggest challenges. And, I mean, also last year growing the business, adding a lot of new ranges. I mean, that's huge capital outlay. It was big. I mean, you've paid for all this stuff. It's on the sea now. It's been paid for it before it was manufactured. So 10 weeks later, it arrives and you can sell the first.
Yeah. So your working capital cycle is huge. And especially if you're not using credit.
Correct.
That can be quite daunting.
Correct. But we've, you know, my mom's philosophy was, you know, your turnover is vanity and your cash flow is sanity. Without cash flow, you don't have a business, darling. So don't spend it all.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's very sage advice. Now, you know, one of the things as I look at this whole question of traditional marketing versus digital and how that has impacted on businesses across the economy, I think the one thing that it has definitely for me done is enabled people of different backgrounds, mm-hmm. You know, smaller business people, different yeah. race groups, yeah. Male, female. It's basically leveled the playing field definitely. In terms of access to market.
Correct.
Has it brought new competitors to your space that you perhaps didn't have to deal with before? Are you dealing with
no.
you know, has it lowered the barriers of entry into your particular market, the digital space?
Not that I've seen.
Okay.
Because I, you know, we're quite niche. We've always been very careful about staying in our lane. We've never strayed sort of, and it's easy to stray into food packaging or stationery kind of. We've always really known, had a very clear objective about what our core business was, and it's boutique packaging. So, you know, there are a lot of guys out there that do some of the things we do, but it's, you know, their actual core business is completely different to ours. So, no, it hasn't really.
But it's definitely allowed you to access your customers.
You know, the nooks and crannies, the people you would never normally find. I mean, even cold calling, we used to do, we had reps and they would go and drop brochures. But, you know, your shop owners are never in their shops. There's always an assistant there and she'll turf it in the bin the minute you walk out the door. And, you know, but those are the people you're finding on Facebook, and those yeah. are people you're finding on Instagram. And, you know, you can reach people and so quickly. And, yeah. and for, you know, you've paid your petrol, you haven't. And also my business is now national.
Yeah.
I mean, we courier all over the country, and I don't have reps on the road, petrol, medical aids, cell phones, any of that stuff. Mm. And I'm national.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, so.
So it's changed the profile of your business completely.
Totally. Completely.
That's
so open up a whole new, completely new side to our business, our online business.
Okay.
You know.
Okay. Samantha, as we close out the show, I'm going to ask you the one question that I ask all of my guests.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the pay it forward question.
Okay.
So if you had been listening to a radio station when you started the business with your mom.
Yeah.
And you'd heard something on that radio station. What is the one thing that you wish you had heard somebody else tell you about that would have helped you as a business owner either grow your business, avoid an issue, just something that you kind of went, if I had only known that, we would have been in a much better position as the paper packaging place.
Well, I always had the comfort of my mother, my mentor, who was the most sensible person on earth. So I've never really had to be in that position where I've gone, oh, no, that was a massive big mistake. Sherbet, I wish we hadn't gone there. But, you know, I suppose just being practical about, you know, your just focus on what it is that you want to do. Don't get sidetracked. You know.
I heard you saying earlier you stayed in your lane.
Keep and it I think simple. Stay in your lane. Don't. I mean, I was recently helping somebody. I've got one of my staff and helping, you know, them out, a family member trying to get a business going. And so excited about this product. And then he can do this and he can do that. And I'm saying, don't get ahead of yourself. This is what you're doing right now. Nurture it. Grow it. Like a child, make sure that it's healthy, it's strong, and it's on its feet before you start adding anything else, because you just get completely sidetracked, and that's when things fall apart. People say you're unreliable, they don't, you know, it's just go slow.
Stick with your nature.
Stick with what it is, you know, your core.
Great. Samantha, thank you very much for your time.
It's a pleasure. Thank you for having me.
That was Samantha Selznick of the Paper Packaging Place.
Selznick.
I knew I was going to miss
Selznick.
It. Selznick. Stay with us. Next up, the Youth Leadership Platform.
This is CliffCentral.com.